welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Eason here with Life Coach Cindy Chavez. Today is Wednesday. It is June 3rd, 2020, 4 p.m. And I got double echo going on there. But wherever you are in the world, thank you for joining us for another episode of LOA Today, your daily dose of happy. And I'm happy to be able to do the show. An hour ago, I collapsed. I was exhausted. I don't know what happened, Cindy. All of a sudden, I couldn't focus. And I had to go lie down, which I hate doing during the day. But you know, sometimes you just have to, you gotta do what you gotta do. So I did, and it worked. It enabled me to get here and do the show, and I missed, you know, turning the volume off there at the beginning. But other than that, I'm doing good. So things are looking up, you know?
I don't know. I feel like we talked about this a little bit on one of the shows, but, taking a nap is some conscious creators' go-to method for letting go of resistance. And I actually know a couple people that when they're struggling with something or frustrated with something and, or they can't figure something out or, you know, something's not happening that they want to be happening, they just say, okay, I'm going to leave this. I'm going to go take a nap. And they have story after story of how they've gone and taken a nap and come back and, you know, everything has been unfolded better, or they got the phone call they were waiting for, or something went through that they had been waiting for, or they have the solution to something. And I'm always a little jealous because I'm not a good napper.
Yeah, you and me both.
I usually, if I decide for whatever reason I have to take a nap in the daytime, I usually can't fall asleep. And then if I do fall asleep, I'll wake up with a headache or I wake up all groggy and I just don't feel like I can function. And so I avoid napping for that reason. But, you know, I know I'm a little jealous of people who are really good nappers. And just, I have a friend that will say, oh, we're going to go out tonight, so we might be out a little late, and I want to feel fresh, so I'm going to go sleep for an hour and then get ready. And I'm like, you can do that? Really?
Yeah, no kidding.
Now, people that I know that have been in the military, like almost every person I know that has been in the military is able to, like, sleep at any time. Like, doesn't matter if they're tired or whatever. They can sort of sleep in advance or say, we're leaving on a trip this afternoon, and I want to drive through the night, so I'm going to go get a nap. I'm like, how can you get a nap if you're not tired? Well, I need to because I'm going to be up all night. I'm like, I don't get it. But it's great if you can do it. I'm glad you got a nap so you didn't hurt yourself by, like, just falling off your chair or something.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, we were talking about just before the show, you did a wonderful demonstration of somebody who's collapsing, just like falling asleep right at the table. And that was me.
There's a picture of me. I don't know where it is. My mother had it. It might be, you know, gone to history, but there's a picture of me when I was maybe two. I'm in a high chair, I think. And it was the day that my family had just moved into a new house. So the schedule was all crazy, and we were eating dinner very, very late, later than normal, and it's a plate of spaghetti in front of me, and my face is just in it.
Oh,
so
no.
I just, like, fell asleep right into the plate, and I think, I know what it feels like to just nod off.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes you just got to, it's not like it was even a choice. That's the thing for me, because, like you were saying, I'm not a napper either. I usually don't wake up refreshed from them. And so that's why I really don't like taking them. But it was not a choice. Literally, it was either go lie down or fall on the floor. And I figured lying down was a little bit more comfortable. So, you know.
Safer, right? Yeah. All right, get me to a soft spot so I don't hurt myself. No, it's true. So, you know, I know Abraham Hicks talks about this, but it's the non-resistance that happens while you're sleeping. So you can look at it that way too. Is, hey, I just got an hour of non-resistance.
I did. This is true. I that's a good way to phrase it. And if I can frame it that way, maybe I'll feel a little bit better about it next time. That's a good one. I like that.
Yeah. Well, I think that our bodies are really smart, right? And I know that a lot of times we resist things like that, right? It's like, oh, no, nap. I can't. Why am I so tired? I can't take a nap right now. I have things to do or whatever. But sometimes our body is overrides. You know how you hear people say, oh, my goodness, you know, I worked 10 straight days in a row and I finally got a day off and I got sick.
Yes. Well, oh, yes.
Sometimes your body's just been waiting for you to give it a break. You know, I mean, I think that sometimes our body is so smart that if we'll just listen to it, and sometimes it doesn't it overrides whether we can listen. Like you said, I didn't have a choice. I had to go lay down.
Well, yeah, if you don't listen long enough, the body's going to say, okay, enough. Drawing the line right here. You're done. Go lie down or forget it.
Yeah. So it's
you're going to do it. That's all.
The emotional scale that we talk about sometimes that we consciously use in law of attraction to sort of guide us or let us know where we are. Mm-hmm. That's all our body, right? I mean, emotions are, I had a conversation with somebody this morning who said, told me that they did not have sensations in their body. And wow. I said, well, then that's where we need to start.
Yeah.
Because when you have an emotion, whether it's one we, call pleasurable and comfortable, or an emotion that's uncomfortable, some people may say a good emotion or a bad emotion. I don't like to categorize them that way, but we should feel it in the body.
Yes, it's true.
Right? I mean, if you think about whenever you've been scared or sad or ecstatic, there's something going on in the body. You might feel it as a tightening in your solar plexus or a lump in your, people say, oh, I had a big knot in my stomach. That's one you hear a lot.
Yeah, that one, sure. Yeah.
And that's, it's a sensation in the body, but it's attached to something. It's attached to a thought, a story, an emotion. And so there again, that's our body, like being really smart and giving us some kind of information. Or what about when people say, when people have an intuition about something that ends up like saving their life, right? They're like, well, I was, I was going to turn onto this road and I didn't.
Right.
And it's like, well, why didn't you? I felt scared. I felt tense. I felt like, something was telling me no. And so they don't do it. And then they find, then their car breaks down on a main road instead of on a back road or whatever. Right?
Something happens.
So I think just listening, and I'm always not the best at it either. I mean, we're all just learning and practicing, but paying attention to what we feel in the body.
And I'm sympathetic too. I'm talking with somebody who has an inability to feel what's going on inside, because I actually ended up for a very short period of time. I never really got into being a life coach like you are, but for a short time I tried it. To see what would happen. And I ended up with a couple of clients that I worked with. One particular I worked with for a number of weeks, and he was like that. He was in a space where he was a former dentist, orthodontist, I think he was. He was a former orthodontist who'd been forced into retirement because of undescribed, unstated emotional issues that were basically preventing him from enjoying life. And he had therapists, he had a psychiatrist, all this kind of stuff, and he had a life coach in for a short time to see if that would help him. And we made a little progress, but it was disconcerting because, I'd ask him, so how are you doing today? Oh, I don't know. Okay, well, how have the last 2 days been? Oh, I don't know. Well, has there been anything that felt happy lately? Well, no, not really. Well, has there been anything that's felt sad? No, not really. I kind of said to myself, well, first of all, this is a clue that life coaching isn't for me. Second of all, I said, I don't know how to help this poor guy if he can't even tell me what he's feeling.
Yeah. And the thing is that sometimes that happens for people because they, whether it's conscious or unconscious, it's always some kind of attempt to protect ourselves from something we don't want to feel. But sometimes when we start numbing out, and that's kind of a really broad phrase, because sometimes people numb out things they don't want to feel by, drinking alcohol, using drugs. Some people do it with meditation. Some people just do it by ignoring it. Like they just refuse to process it or feel it. And the unfortunate thing is when we start numbing feelings out and emotions out, regardless of how we're doing that, right? Whether we're shoving them down, denying them, ignoring them or drinking them away, we can't pick and choose. So normally we do that because we're feeling something we don't want to feel. Yeah. We don't want to feel frustrated or angry or sad. And so we stop listening to that. But when we numb out emotions, we numb out emotions, period. Mm-hmm. We just numb them all out, and bodily sensations as well. Yeah. So here's a cool, if people that are listening can try this, you can try this. I don't know if we can, I don't know how much time it takes, but it's a cool meditation which we won't do now, but it's the beginning of the meditation. So okay. Here's how the meditation would work is bring your attention to your right hand.
All right.
And just focus your attention on your right hand until you can feel something. And you just stay there. You just keep doing it. And you know, some people might feel something in 5 seconds. And as I'm talking, I'm trying to keep my attention on my right hand. Now it might feel like electricity. It might feel like buzzing. It might feel like heat. It might feel like pain. It might feel like, but a physical feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And you do that until you can feel it.
Yeah.
And what's so interesting is that energy, because that's what it is, right? You're feeling energy.
Sure.
This is what blows my mind. And I've been doing this meditation for a decade or more. What always blows my mind is I tell myself, you know, wow, I'm really feeling this energy in my hand right now. It's like, it's always there,
mm-hmm.
right?
Sure. Well, that's what I experience.
It's always there. We just don't notice it. Why? Well, because it would be really distracting if all day long we were feeling a throbbing or a buzzing in our hand. So we don't feel it. And it's a good thing we don't feel it. But that's how emotions can get when we push them away.
Mm, that's true. Yeah.
And unfortunately,
because when you were saying that, as soon as you mentioned right hand, I immediately looked at my right hand. And as soon as I did, I immediately felt like this wave of heat over the back of my hand.
Ah,
I mean, really,
see?
Really quick.
Okay, you know? So that was quick.
Yeah.
So if you want to do the whole meditation, you know, for later, what you do is you start with your right hand,
mm-hmm.
and then you bring your, after, as soon as you feel it, which, you know, it might take you, like you, it took you 30 seconds or 5 seconds, or it might take you a minute or so or longer. But as soon as you feel it, then you put your focus on your left hand.
Mm-hmm.
And you
as
wait.
As soon as you say that, I'm feeling my left hand. It's crazy.
Then you feel them both at once. And then you can like feel both hands at once and your wrists and your arms, you know, and you move through the whole body until
sure.
you can feel sensation in the whole body.
Mm.
And it's really amazing.
Yeah.
It is. And we talk about this a lot, right? Control of our thoughts, awareness, like, when you're first learning about law of attraction and you freak out because someone says to you, do you know you have 60,000 thoughts
right.
a day? And you're like, oh no, how am I going to manage it all? So, but it's just that awareness, and it keeps your mind, like any other meditation, you know, your mind can wander and you bring it back, but wander, not wonder, or maybe both. You bring it back, but it's one of those things that I think helps. It helps with recognizing sensation in the body. And, you know, besides illness or things like that, which even with that, there's always feelings that we can tap into that give us big information about ourselves,
mm.
right? Mm-hmm. That we can use consciously to shift things, change things, have a different experience. So I think it's important.
I agree. It makes total sense that it is important, and it's a way of kind of validating for myself or for ourselves that, first of all, we are connected. We do feel. We do experience. We can infer things. That was a big thing for me for the longest time. I don't know what it feels like to get an internal message. Well, actually, it turns out I do know. I just didn't realize what it was that I was getting, you know. But,
right.
You know, when you can get to the point, and I think for me, this has happened largely from doing this podcast, you know, just daily having a thing to do to get to that daily dose of happy that I'm trying to share with everybody else. But it's also affected me so that now when you say, feel something in your right hand, boom, I feel something on my right hand. Boom, I feel something on my left hand. Boom, I'm feeling it throughout my body. There's not any effort going on here at all. It's just,
awesome.
Oh, it's right there.
Yeah.
You know, and when you're developing that kind of, when you're developing that kind of response, instant response,
mm-hmm.
I think what that really is doing is saying you are now connecting to everything that you're experiencing. You're feeling all of it, and you're feeling it quickly. And so now you can interact with it. Now you can start playing with it. Now you can start doing things.
Right. And identifying it, right? Like,
sure.
Yeah. So it's because as soon as we've talked about like an emotional charge on something, good mm-hmm. or bad, you know, comfortable or uncomfortable, whatever the experience is, you know, sometimes we get reactive, right?
Sure.
And if we are really familiar with recognizing sensation in the body, feelings, emotions, and being able to identify them. Then when we get caught off guard and something comes up where we have a strong emotional charge to it, then it's easy to shift it, or easier to shift it, because we're used to this. We know these things, and we start, you know how you might taste something and you don't know what it is, and you might take a bite or a drink and say, oh, that tastes like strawberry, right? Like you take a taste of some kind of cake or something and you recognize raspberry, strawberry, whatever. Well, that's because you've tasted it many times before.
Sure.
There's other times, have you ever tasted something you're like, oh, what is that? I know that taste, but I'm not sure what it is. You know, it's just something you're not as familiar with. Same thing. And if we get really familiar with our emotions and what they're connected to, then it's so much easier to reach for the better feeling thing.
Yes.
Because we know what that is. And sometimes we know what triggers it. We know what it's attached to. And you know, all of that is a learning process, but it starts with being aware of what's going on. And so if you're in that place, I talked to somebody this morning, they said, I don't feel sensations in my body. I said, well, that's where we start then. So that's where you start.
It's funny, you mentioned too how when we begin to do it more regularly, it becomes easier and we become better at, you know, connecting to, here's what I'm feeling today, or I'm having this response. Is this the response that I want to have? Can I change the response? And yes, I can change the response. And it's interesting to me how it is kind of a mutual thing. On the one hand, the more connected we get, the more easy it is to shift, to make that kind of pivot. On the other hand, the more that we practice making that kind of pivot, the easier it is to feel it. It's like it's a mutual thing. They feed each other.
Yes, they feed each other. Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, what's cool is that, if you have a certain response to certain things, maybe that you don't want, over time you get really sensitive to it. And I'm not talking about emotionally sensitive. I mean, sensitive to being able to discern what it is at the beginning. Like you start to notice it, and it's so much easier to, you know, then you can recognize, okay, why am I feeling this way? What is it that I need? What is the story that I've got going on that is causing me to feel charged up about this? And then you can just make the conscious decision to switch it and change it to something that's not, you know, something that you want to feel, or at least something that's not so charged.
Which I suspect is probably what happened to me about just under 2 hours ago, when I found myself in a place where I needed to just go lie down. And I, as you're describing this, I'm realizing what I would have done in the past if I ran into that, especially if I was in a work environment, because obviously it's not easy to take a nap if you're at work at some office somewhere. What I would tend to do is I'd get angry. Like, I can't do this now. I'm at work. I have things I have to do. And so I'd start getting pissy. And God help anybody who came up to talk to me at that point.
Yeah, you've heard the expression when people use the word hangry. It means they're hungry, and that because of that, they're getting really crappy at everybody. Right. Yeah.
that would be a good way of describing it. Yes. Yeah. And that's precisely what could have happened. So there's another benefit. I mean, I wasn't crazy about taking a nap today, but I'm pretty sure that the fact that I have been working on being in touch with what I'm feeling for so long now, it's not like I needed, you know, a 2x4 to the side of the head. It was pretty clear to me. I had to go lie down. I didn't have to think twice about it.
It's like, it became pretty clear to me when I fell out of the chair. Yeah, for sure. Well, I think that this awareness of what's going on in our body is really useful across the board for all kinds of things. And I know we were talking about, before the show, we were just talking about everything that's been going on. You were saying yesterday that you and Alex did a how to make a better vibe kind of show.
Right.
A vibe lifter show. Did you notice that if you're watching on the video?
Oh, gorgeous flowers you got back there. Oh.
Well, there's this bouquet of flowers on my desk that it's been on the dining room table. And I said to my husband, I have to take these lilies in to be on the show today with me because they're so beautiful. But it's really funny because my office is small, and when I carried them in here, I realized it's like a bouquet that belongs like in a hotel, you know, reception area or something. It's ginormous and it's so, so big, but they're so beautiful. And that's one of the things, like, I know that having fresh flowers around is a vibe lifter for me, right? Yeah. So little things like that.
Sure.
But lately, with all of the things that have been going on, because we've gotten this sort of trifecta, you know, of the pandemic and then the economy because of the pandemic and now this, all of the racial tensions that are going on. And so we've got all of this stuff going on. And
all at the same time.
Somebody told me yesterday that they felt like they were sleepwalking to some degree, not literally, but that they were going about their day and doing certain things. And then like after the fact, looking back and connecting like emotional drivers to whatever it was that they did, but that they were just sort of like not even conscious of it completely in the moment. And when you said today to me that you had just had a nap because you were just overwhelmed with, oh my gosh, I have to have a nap, I thought about that and I thought, you know, these are all some, I don't know if your nap was, but could be, they're all sort of symptoms of what we call allostatic overload. And it's just so much stuff going on that's out of the ordinary for us. And they're not things that we are happy about or comfortable with. So it's like we carry that with us, even when we're not thinking about it, even when we are working on other projects, you know, sort of like when a couple is having a really hard time in their relationship and they're maybe fighting all the time or, you know, things are very unhappy. Well, if they both go off to work, you know, it's not like it just all just stops and they don't ever think about it, right? They go to work. And this is what we talk about. If someone at work is having a big situation go on, that's really taking a lot of energy and on their mind a lot, we say we're bringing our work home with us. Like we come home. So we carry all these emotional things around with us, even when we're not directly in the space of it affecting us so directly. And I think whether you have COVID, whether you've lost your job or not, whether these racial things affect us all because we're all connected. You know, the violence that we're seeing, however that affects you, I don't see how it can not affect you completely.
Oh, absolutely.
Like it's affecting all of us. And part of how it affects us is how we feel physically. And part of that is either being drained and tired or maybe not sleeping well. Like I've been sleeping well, like maybe 2 out of 4 nights.
Oh, wow.
You know, I'll have a couple nights where I just don't sleep. I mean, I'm thinking about all this stuff that's going on in my head. And then I'll have a couple nights where I sleep great. And it's like, oh, I wake up the next morning. I'm like, oh, that's what it feels like to be rested. Yeah. I can go again. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, there are a lot of things going on and it is going to affect, our physical, you know, well-being, and it's going to affect our relationships and our vibe.
Mm-hmm. In a big way.
And, you know, the thing that keeps me in the space of, you know, probably more well-being than not is that knowing that my thoughts are creating the vibe.
Yes.
Right?
That's where your concept of radical responsibility, as you phrase it, is a wonderful concept.
Mm-hmm.
Because that radical responsibility is all about recognizing things just like that. Yeah, I'm the one who's responsible for this vibe that's going on in my life right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's true. And, you know, that's not always an easy thing because, you know, we can't all just be a hermit and go away in a cave somewhere and, you know, focus on our right hand until we feel energy. And you know, that's not like our total life. And we do connect with other people. We see other people's opinions. We interact with other people. And so recognizing that our vibe is our responsibility is really important. But there are other things as well, right? Like, you know me, I've never been somebody I don't have a desire to put my head in the sand and not pay attention, vibe or not.
Right.
I'm an activist and I don't apologize for it. And it's part of who I am. And so recognizing how can I, honor my core values? How can I take, you know, affirmative action and still keep a good vibe or not let it tear me down to the fact, you know, to the place where I'm suffering from not having a sense of well-being.
Yes.
Exactly. It's a balance. It's a balance. Now I recognize some people, especially some people in the LOA community, don't look at anything. Anything that doesn't feel good, they're just not going to look at it. And I may get some flack for saying this, but, I think a lot of that is what they call spiritual bypassing, and it's a white privilege thing. And I don't think that it's spiritual, and I don't think that it causes us to be able to create anything good in the world. It might feel better, but you know, there are a lot of people addicted to drugs that feel better too. And it doesn't mean they're creating anything good with their vibe. So,
well, I could also make the other point too. I hear what you're saying. I also think that I can make the argument that spiritual bypassing is also going on among people who are claiming spiritual bypassing. And I'll say that because, yes, I think that there is a certain avoidance that goes on, but sometimes you need to avoid. I mean, I needed to avoid trying to stay up earlier. If I had not tried to do that, I would not have been in a good place. I had to go lie down. It was
and
not
what you're talking about is called self-care, right? It's like even people, like I think about my sister and my brother-in-law, who are both trauma nurses. So they are both on the front lines of the COVID pandemic. You know, you can only work so much and then you collapse. So it's very important that they take good care of themselves when they're not at work. Well, when they are at work too, right? Wearing protection and all that. But it's that whole idea on the airplane, please put the oxygen mask on yourself first before you try to put it on your kid.
Right.
So a lot of it is self-care. Yes, absolutely. We cannot look at this stuff 24/7.
No.
And we can't be even if you're an activist, you can't be taking action 24/7. You have to take care of yourself. Absolutely. And part of that is turning it off, getting away, doing whatever you're going to do. But when you're doing that 100% of the time, then, you know, I saw a wonderful message from Bruce Schneider, who is the founder and president of the coaching school that I went to. I chose this coaching school because their message is completely aligned with law of attraction.
Mm.
Right? Like when I decided to become a coach in 2007, I found the top three coaching schools in the world, and then I found out who their founders were, and then I ordered every book their founders had written because I was teaching law of attraction. I did not want to go to a coaching school where whatever they, you know, were teaching wasn't lining up with my practice.
Sure. Yeah.
And so the message that he put out was, it's not our job to make people feel comfortable right now. Like, as a matter of fact, with everything going on, if that doesn't make you feel uncomfortable, then you're probably not aligned with the capital T truth within you. It's within you that you have the truth. And when we see what's happening, it feels uncomfortable. You know, what do I say all the time? You've heard me say it 100 times. Welcome to Earth.
I think what I was trying to address though is it's a false belief that, people are who are, I think you're describing it in the way that it often gets described, and it's a little bit extreme, that they're always trying to look at only the positive, and they're not allowing any negative in. And I actually don't think that such a person really does exist, because I think we all let negative in at one point or another. But the description of that person is often made by somebody, and I'm seeing this a lot, particularly in the last few days with the racial tensions. It's made by somebody who's saying, in essence, if you aren't feeling the anger I'm feeling, then you are not feeling correctly.
Oh, yeah. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I hope it doesn't come across that way.
But that's who's usually making the claim of being socially disconnected, of being emotionally disconnected. That's the person that I'm seeing most often who's making that claim. And I'm thinking to myself, my God, you're a lot less connected than I am right now. Because all you can see is everybody's got to be angry. That's missing out on an entire range of emotions right there.
Yeah, no, anger is absolutely valid. It's important.
Sure.
It tells us a lot of information that we need. And it can be channeled in a very productive way. So it's the inappropriate display of emotions that we don't want.
Yes.
Of course. And anger is the one that's really easy to describe, right? It's like, can I be angry at someone? Of course. Should I shoot them? No.
No.
Right? So anger is okay. It's whatever it creates. We want to channel it in a productive way.
Right.
What I'm talking about is the shaming of any emotion that's not a happy emotion. And I know that's prevalent because it affected me 10 years ago to the point where, or maybe 15 years ago, let's say 15 years ago, from 2000 to 2005, 20 to 15 years ago, where I really, and I'm really good at it, I really did my best to not have any emotions that were uncomfortable.
Oh.
I smile on my face all the time. What do people say about me? Oh, she's always so happy and uplifting. Yeah, I was. But I also wasn't expressing a lot of things that were going on within me. Because, why? Because, well, they didn't fit the law of attraction profile, right? I don't want to be vibing. Right. I don't want to be vibing in a bad way and attract some bad things. Mm-hmm. And that's, I was really missing it. I was missing the mark, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And what I didn't understand was that it's okay to feel all those things. They're all valid.
It's necessary to feel everything.
Yes. Thank you.
I mean, if we're leaving out any part of the range, we're cutting ourselves off. That's the point.
What's interesting is that, you know, you said you were talking about, and we wouldn't think about this as an emotional thing. Like you were like, oh, I'm so tired. Like all of a sudden I was nodding up, like I had to take a nap, you know, but think about how often, tired. And I'm not saying this was about you today. I'm actually speaking from my own experience in the last 48 hours. I had a very emotional conversation with someone. And after it was over, I said, I'm tired. That was my emotion that I felt. It was like, I wasn't angry. I wasn't frustrated. Well, maybe a little frustrated. but I just said, that was what came out. I was like, oof, I'm tired. This just wore me out, right? It was draining. And so when my kids were younger, they went to summer camp as counselors.
Mm-hmm.
So when they were like high school seniors, college freshmen, they were counselors. And one of the things they learned in their training about counseling is that the little kids would often say they have a stomach ache.
Mm.
And they wanted to, what it really was, what they were told is that, yeah, sometimes they ate something and they have a stomach ache, but most of the time they're homesick and they want their mommy and their daddy and they want to go home and they're away from home and they've never been away from home and they're struggling with all these different feelings that they don't really know how to articulate. And they'll be crying or something. And you, as a camp counselor, you say, what's the matter? You know, and they'll say, my tummy hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it's the easiest way they can express like all this stuff that's going on. And it may actually be that they're having emotions and they're experiencing it as a tummy ache.
Quite probable. Yeah.
So that same thing translates to adults, but adults, and sometimes we as adults get a tummy ache and over an emotional thing. But a lot of times adults just say, I'm tired. And I realized that myself last night. I was like, yep, that's what I just did. I just said, what's wrong, Cindy? I'm tired.
That's part of the whole thing about feeling the range of emotions, because it can be tiring. Yes. I mean, we've experienced the emotions. It's necessary to experience them. It's necessary to express and feel them. But that doesn't mean that there's no expensive energy going on during all of that. It's not like the energy stops flowing. The energy is still flowing, you know? You're expressing a lot of emotion, you're pouring out a lot of energy.
Yeah.
It's just happening. You know, so you're going to be a little bit in a deficit for a bit. You need to, you feel the tiredness, of course.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, it's kind of funny. I've heard people say that scientists still don't know why we need to sleep. Like, we know that it recharges us, but we don't really understand all about why, you know, but I recognize that it's that, it's not just like physical recharging. It's emotional recharging as well.
Absolutely.
You know, every time I have a client that calls me and they're like having a meltdown, I always ask the same question. How are you sleeping?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 9 times out of 10, they say no. And I always reply with, well, sleep deprivation is a form of torture. So that's why you're feeling how you're feeling, right? And we all know that saying about things look better in the morning. You know, it's like everything.
There's a reason for it.
Yeah. So after a good night's sleep, you know, whatever was making you feel the night before, like everything was hopeless and you were never going to get it right, you wake up and you're like, oh, okay, I can go again. You know, I had that experience this morning. I woke up, I was like, okay, it's all right. I'm going to do fine. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about vibe shifting. Like you and Alex talked about it yesterday. Mm-hmm. If you had to think of the top three ways, you know, the top three like concrete practical things that you could do when you're feeling, you know, drained, tired from emotional, you know, emotional stuff or feelings you don't want to feel, what would you say would be the top three ways that you could shift that?
I do a podcast episode. I take a walk in nature. I go have a talk with my wife. I pet the cats. I have like a whole list on the wall whenever I need
to. That's awesome. It was so funny. You were like, I do a podcast episode. I take a walk in nature. I go have, I thought you were going to say martini. No, I'm just kidding.
I have never had a martini, believe it or not. I took one sip one day. I said, nope, that's not for me.
Said, I'm done. Why do people do this? It's like people that try smoking for the first time. They're like, why do people do this? Yeah, no. Yes.
I suppose they think it's relaxing. Okay, well.
Walk in nature. Walk in nature is such a good one. I think that, well, you know, some there are probably people listening that this is not their experience at all, and they're in nature all the time. But I mean, I live in a city. I'm thankful. This is my walk in nature sometimes.
It's beautiful nature. It's gorgeous.
I have flowers all over the house. My husband planted me a wonderful garden, so I have flowers outside and vegetables outside. And so that's my in nature. I don't have a forest or like woods that I can go off into. I live in Louisiana, so there are no mountains.
No, bayous. But, you know.
We have bayous with alligators.
With alligators.
But walking in nature is such a good tool, whatever nature you can get to. Mm-hmm. You know, it might be a park. It's a really good tool for vibe shifting. Yes. I have to say that will be one of the top ones on my list as well.
Yeah.
Music.
Oh, I love that. Yes.
Yeah. Music would be on the list. And funny movies.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Okay.
I feel like a doctor, you know, I've written prescriptions before for a funny movie to shift that vibe. So we've been talking about the idea that whether you are involved in activism or not, we've got all this stuff going on in the world. It's definitely going to be some kind of emotional weight that you're carrying because of all of it. Even if you're just like, I don't want to talk about it and people keep talking to me about it and I'm sick of people talking about it, you're still carrying some kind of emotional weight with it. So recognizing that it's a good idea to take some specific, even if you can calendar it, that's really great, specific time to take care of yourself in some way that shifts the vibe, right? Like, I don't know if you still do this, Walt, but I know for a long time you used to take a walk every day.
I try to, yeah. And pretty much this time of year I can, so I do every single day.
Yeah. So play with your cats.
Yep.
I know people that have got pets, playing with the pets. Making some, either writing in a journal or making some kind of art.
Yes.
But something where you've, or actually working with your hands in some way. Like you may even consider, you know, building computers that way too, but working in the garden.
It depends
drawing,
what part
painting.
Of the job it is, actually. I mean, because I mentioned that I crashed earlier and had to take a nap, which I normally don't do. And I know what led up to it. What led up to it was this computer project I've been working on, trying to create this app for LOA Today, which is almost done, but there's this one last issue I'm trying to fix. And I've been like going after this thing for about 8 days now without success and doing all the stuff that I know to do to get myself into a good vibe. And okay, I don't have to struggle through this. This is just, this problem is already solved and doing all that stuff. And then you go at it again, you still don't get the result. Oh. And after doing that enough times, I finally reached the point where literally my mind would not let me focus on it. And that's why I needed to go lie down. Literally, yeah. I would sit here. This is what was happening an hour, almost 2 hours ago. I was looking at the screen and saying, okay, I'm going to focus on this now. And I could just feel myself shut down as soon as I said that, within seconds. And I'm saying, no, I'm going to focus on this right now. And then I'd start to shut down immediately within seconds.
Your mind was like saying, nope.
Not happening today. Go do something. If you won't do something else, you're going to have to go lie down, mister, because this is it.
Yeah. So, right. So, you know, you did what you had to do to take care of that.
Yes.
So I noticed that, you know, I don't know if this, who this applies to. I think it applies to many of us because of all the things that we have going on that are causing a lot of division. If you're, a lot of people are experiencing, divisions in their relationships, not just with, I don't mean just intimate relationships, but family relationships.
Absolutely.
Friend relationships. People that are making statements that other family members are just like, I'm done. Like, I can't do this. Why? Well, part of it is because some of the things that are going on are directly, you know, attached to our core values. Right? Yes. So, core values, if you know what your core values are, and you honor them, you'll have a much better vibe and happier life most of the time. I give you an example. It has nothing to do with politics or any of the stuff going on. It's just my core values. One of my core values is around beauty. And so I always say I could not work in one of those cubes.
Yeah.
Like I know people that work in an office.
Well, you probably have a bouquet of lilies behind you like you do right now.
Well, I know people that have worked in certain situations in a cube where they're not allowed to have any decorations.
Oh, yeah.
Can't have flowers, can't have pictures. It's like, no, everyone's cube has to be the same, plain white. I actually coached somebody one time and it was really funny because they were struggling with some things. And at the end of coaching, what we recognized, this was my remedy. My remedy for them was to decorate their cube, to go buy some, and it changed their whole experience of where they were. And it didn't seem like it would be something that would be attached to the problem at hand, but everything affects everything, right?
It does, sure.
So I know that my core value is honored when I have beautiful things around me. Right. Or when I can create something beautiful like art. So when you know what your core values are, another one of mine is integrity. Like if I say that I'm going to do something, I do it. And that's important to me. So when you know what they are and you can honor them, it makes everything better. So let's say that you have a core value around, being outside in nature. You may go to a workshop that's inside and the same exact workshop could be taking place outside and you may have a much better experience if you do the one that's outside without even recognizing why that one was so much better. Until you realize, oh, it was because I was outside and outside. You know, that's my favorite place to be. Yeah. So in these situations where you may be having struggles in relationships, if you will honor your core values, and I recognize that that sometimes is hard to do, but it will be better for you.
Oh, absolutely. It is. And it doesn't even matter what the situation is. Even if it's uncomfortable to bring those core values out, it always pays to stay true to them.
And that's why we feel miserable sometimes. Sometimes it's like, I don't know why, you know, well, there's some core value that you have. And if you know what that is, then you can.
And that's honor about yourself.
Now, other people might not honor it.
Nope.
But it's important that you honor it, yes. Right? And that you know what your core values are and that you know what you stand for. And, you know, everything else just has to shake out the way it shakes out. Not everybody's going to agree with everybody else.
And ultimately, that doesn't even matter if they don't agree with you. It's not up to them to make your core values true. You're the one who's responsible for your core values.
Yes, exactly. That's the point, right? That's the point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, a couple things I wanted to share from audience. First of all, I didn't get a chance to tell you about this, but on one of our earlier videos a few weeks back, we got a comment today from a listener named Sue who said she loves listening to the podcast I do with you, Cindy, on Wednesday. So I'm
wondering that's wonderful. Yay. So thank you, Sue,
for that. And then Josie had been sharing some stuff in the live stream while we've been talking here. First she asked if either of us had ever heard of the work of Howard Martin. He does a lot of studies in the heart's relationship to the electromagnetic field of the earth. And she says in a recent episode of Inspire Nation with Howard Martin, he discussed scientific proof from heart math that the heart changes the planet.
And I was just going to say, wait, is this somebody that's connected with heart math? Because yes. Oh, it's such good stuff. Thank you. Thank you for bringing it up. It's wonderful.
And she also has a question for you, Cindy. She says, from your experience, what is the best way to differentiate between ego and intuition? She says, Sonia Choquette talks a lot about that. Are you familiar with her work?
I can't say I'm familiar with the name. I can't say that I'm intimately familiar with the work. Mm-hmm. But what I will say is that one way that I identify intuition, I think our ego, you know, always wants to be right, always wants to have all the good things, doesn't want to recognize parts of us that are not in line with what we think is good and right. And of course, you know, integrating all of our parts, some people call it shadow work or shadow integration, but it's the parts of us that we'd rather disown, that we don't want to talk about. When we can accept and integrate all of that, which is work I do with private clients, then we don't have to worry so much about that. But talking about differentiating between ego and intuition, I will tell you that when I get an intuitive hit about something, the way I've begun to be able to know it's my intuition is that part of me starts to argue with it.
Mm.
So I'll give you an example that happened to me recently. I belong to an online community, and there was an assignment given a book that some of us were going to be reading. Okay, so I ordered the book, and I got a note that the book wasn't going to show up. This was like May 1st, and the book wasn't going to show up until like the middle of the month. And I was like, oh, man, you know, I don't want to start the book halfway through the month and be behind. So I ordered the book. I ordered a sample of the book on my Kindle, which I don't really like reading digital books. I really like to mark up a book and have it in my hands.
Oh, no, you're a bookmarker.
I am. You know that. I love highlighters. Well, every time I even went to start the sample, every time I thought about the book, I had a feeling that I should cancel the order.
Really?
And I was like, about 5 days into this very strong feeling, cancel the order. It's kind of an expensive book, right? But I love books. I mean, I don't have a problem buying a book. You should cancel the order. I was like, finally, I said, okay, I'm just going to cancel the order. Because my argument, I had great arguments. Because my argument was like, what? Like, you're paying for this class. You know you're all in. You know you want to do the master's level work. You know you want to read the book and do all the stuff. Like, why would you cancel the order? Mm. So what if it's a little late? You've got the first few chapters on your Kindle. You can start it. Every time I went to start it, cancel the order. Cancel. Wow. But what I realized, oh, I'm arguing really hard with this feeling that right. I should cancel the order. That told me, yeah, this is definitely my intuition. And I know to listen to my intuition. So I canceled the order.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, less than an hour after I canceled the order, the leader posted a message. I'm so sorry that I assigned you this book. I totally thought it was a different book. This is not actually the book that I want you to read.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
And once again, I went, forehead slap. I was like, I know that voice. I know what my intuition sounds like. And what do? I argue. But what I've realized now is that part of my being able to identify it is the argument that starts happening.
Mm-hmm.
because I'm really good at it, right? Mm-hmm. Like I have so many reasons I can.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And so I guess you could say, Josie, that's the intuition and the ego, my ego arguing with mm-hmm. the intuitive voice. And that argument is what gives it away to me. So
it's a great point. And I struggled with this exact question for the longest time, trying to say, okay, if, how do I differentiate between, I didn't call it my ego and my intuition. I called it my mind and my inner being, but it basically amounted to the same thing.
I usually call it my logical brain, right? It's so logical. It's, you know, it's very logical.
Yes. And I was very confused. How do I tell the difference? It's the question that Josie was asking. And for the longest time, it took me quite a while to realize that there was a difference. But what so many of my co-hosts told me and what my wife told me and friends told me, I kind of followed their advice. Don't worry about it. Just keep, you know, reaching within, see what you can find there. Just try to communicate, even though you're not getting the kind of answers you're looking for. Just keep working on it. Work it. Over time, I did learn how to differentiate. And I can't say it was as clean cut as what you just described. I wish it was. It wasn't that easy for me. It was more along the lines of, I could tell over time which answer was playing out truest. I could tell that there were two voices and one voice played out true and the other voice missed the mark, to use the phrase you were using a moment ago.
Yeah.
And over time I realized, oh, the miss the mark, that's the logical mind part. The one that hits true, that's the intuitive part. Now I know what the difference is.
And you know what's funny? I'm so glad, Josie, you asked this question because I hadn't thought about this before. I hadn't thought about it really in terms of ego. And I do a lot of work there, right, with ego and shadow work and the difference between the two and creating a united will by integrating them. But what I hadn't thought about is, this makes so much sense now, is that, you know, the question, as you were talking about, while I was asking myself, why do we argue, right?
Mm.
Well, and I thought, usually we think of logical arguments about something because that primitive part of our brain hates change. And we want everything to stay the same because we feel safe in, you know, in our comfort zone, we call it, which is usually not comfortable, but right. So we argue. And the reason why the same thing happens with intuition and, like you said, ego is what we talked about a minute ago, that our ego always wants to be right.
Mm-hmm.
And our ego wants to be, you know, everything to be good and perfect and right and, you know, aligned and all of that. And so it starts to argue against whatever the intuition's bringing up, because it's a change. The intuition's like, do this.
Good point.
And the ego's like, no, don't do that. Nope. Everything's fine the way it is. Still that like primitive brain. Nope. We're all good here. You don't need to make any sudden moves. So yeah, that's how I know. I know because boy, oh boy, can I ever argue it to death.
And it could take practice. That's the one thing I've learned more than anything else. It takes practice learning to trust that intuitive voice.
I started teaching classes on this in 2002, so practice. Yeah. I'm still practicing. Right. Look, I had that argument last week.
I told a story. We did a book a couple years ago, as sort of a joint book. You were in it and other people were in it, where we shared LA's manifestation stories. And one of the stories that I shared in that one, I was sharing with Louis, because Louis does the Monday show with me. And we were, as so often happens after the show, I end up in a lot of conversations with co-hosts, and we were doing a conversation on Monday, and he was telling me a story about something that happened with him. And it reminded me of one of the stories I told in that book. It was a story of how I won a poker tournament by completely tapping into the intuition. And it was an experiment because I was still at the point where I was trying
when
to differentiate, but I did. Yeah. Oh, I did it. I pulled it off.
Yeah. I remember.
But I was still trying to learn to make that connection and to trust. And I'm still learning it, but I was really in a place there where I didn't trust very much at all. I said, okay, well, this is a good opportunity. I'm playing in a tournament right now and I'm way behind anyway. Let's just see if I can do it. We're going to use this as a test case. If I lose, I lose. No big deal. I was near the end anyway. So we'll just give it a shot. So I'm just going to go with whatever is going on inside me. I'm going to ignore everything I know about how to play poker. Which is not easy, by the way. Backing that stuff out is not easy, but
yeah,
somehow that day I was in space. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That program is just strong. Well, somehow I was going to just stay in that space. So I did. And every time I got a hand, I wasn't even looking at the hand. I just said to myself, I just want to double my pot. I want to double my steak. I want to double how many chips I've got. That's it. That's all I'm interested in. And I'll feel really, really good when that happens. And then a hand would come up and I wouldn't even look at the hand. I'd say, which is it? Do I play this or do I fold it? Okay, I fold it. And I look at the hand and I say, yeah, I guess I would have folded that one. Okay, so I fold that. Play the next hand. Same thing all over again. I just kept doing the same thing. And it kept working. I kept doubling. I kept doubling. I kept doubling. I'm gaining ground in this tournament that I was way, way behind in at the beginning. And finally got to the point where there were about 10 players left out of a tournament that had originally been a few hundred people. So we're down to, like, you know, the last finalists here. Almost down to the last table, which is usually a table of nine. And I got a hand. I don't remember exactly what the hand was. I think it was a 10 and 4 of diamonds. So it's two diamonds, but it's a really weak starting hand, what they call the pocket. Everybody gets a two-card pocket. And there was another player who was coming in with some really strong, what they call pre-flop betting. In other words, you bet before you get to see the community cards. And he was betting really strong, and that usually means a very, very strong hand. It can mean a bluff, but usually it means a very strong hand. And I look at this 10-4, and my first inclination is you fold that hand. I mean, if you're a smart poker player, you don't play a 10-4 of diamonds at the end of a game where all of a sudden everything is big stakes. You throw that one out. But my heart was saying, no, play the hand, play the hand. I said, well, this is an experiment. It doesn't matter what happens with this. This is a whole experiment to see what happens if I can play an entire tournament just going with the intuition. So I said, okay, I call. And it flopped two more tens on the board. I flopped three of a kind tens. And I thought to myself, holy crap, the guy I'm playing against comes in with this huge bet. I said, oh, this guy's got a big hand and he doesn't know what I've got. I've got him beaten. I'm sure I've got him beaten. There's no way he's got anything better than me at this point. And so I raised him all in. He called with two pocket aces. I cleaned him out. That vaulted me into first place in the tournament, and I never relinquished first place, and I won the tournament. I won the tournament just by tapping into the intuition. Now, have I been able to do that consistently since then? No, I haven't. But for that day, for that moment in time, I was able to stay true to what was going on inside, and boy, did it pay off.
I remember this because it was the night before a podcast, and I remember you telling me before we went on the air the next day, and you were like, oh my gosh, you won't believe what happened.
It was crazy. So awesome.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. Very cool.
And it reinforces just how powerful that intuitive connection is.
Right. And here's what you did is that you just decided in advance. I don't know if we've ever talked about this on the show, but it's a really powerful thing to do. It's making a decision in advance about something so that you never have to make that decision in the moment again. Right. And it's kind of what most people do that are professional poker players, right?
Yeah.
Or professional card players. It's that program we were talking about. You've already got, it's like you said, oh yeah, you get a 10-4, you fold.
Yeah.
Right? Like there's a program of what you do. So you've made that decision in advance, but you made the decision in advance that you weren't going to argue with your intuition.
Exactly.
Regardless of how ridiculous it seemed.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah. And so, you know, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know if I could do that since now I'm depending on the argument to tell me this. I think I'll just have much shorter arguments with my intuition. As soon as it starts arguing, I don't want to argue for a week like I did this last time, right? Mm. I just want to say, oh, I hear what you're doing over there. I hear that argument.
Yeah. Well, I think that's part of what we're learning. I mean, you said you've been working on teaching this kind of thing since 2002. We're learning this. It takes a little time.
Still learning. It takes time.
Yeah. And every single step that we take along the way is a valuable step. So
practice.
I say good on us for doing it. That's really the most important thing. Hey, I want to remind people who are not yet subscribed, you are going to be able to get an app pretty soon, as soon as I get that part straightened out. But until then, become a subscriber. If you haven't done it, just go to the homepage of our website. It will lead you through it. You can also see a copy of the app appearing on the homepage of the website if you want to get a preview of it. It does actually function. It now functions for almost everybody. The only thing, the problem that I'm trying to resolve is that right now you can play two programs at once, and it's pretty disconcerting to hear both sets of voices happening at the same time. I'm trying to iron that one out. But once I've got that one ironed out, I'm going to actually be issuing an app, putting it out into Apple Store and the Google Play Store and so forth. It's going to be
wonderful.
Great. Yeah. But until then, you know, become a subscriber and also check us out on YouTube like Sue did, and Sue's been following us there, because you get a chance to actually see the lilies, that beautiful lilies that Cindy has in the background there. They're gorgeous, and they may be big and they may dominate the room, but what the heck? If you're going to dominate the room, you might as well do it with something like that. They are gorgeous. So yeah, but please become a subscriber, follow us, and, you know, just join our growing community, because this is truly where you get your daily dose of happy, and you do it because of friends of mine like Cindy Chavez.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So I hope that you're able to stay connected to that intuitive side this week. I'm going to try to do the same. Thank you so much for all of your insights. Thank you for sharing everything. We really appreciate that. It's really great. Thank you also to our podcast live streamers, and thank you especially to the podcast listeners themselves. We will see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.